Hello, I am Paul O, and I am a compulsive eater, but I wasn't always. And here's some thoughts about my journey. We moved to California when I was a small kid. I was born in New Orleans, and we've decided to come to the promised land. So that was great. Liked California. I wasn't a particularly skinny kid or a large kid. I was kind of about average through my school years. And when I worked my way up into high school, I wound up being a distance runner, a long distance runner. I turned out to be pretty good at cross country and track running the longer distances, a mile and the 2 mile and so forth. I pretty much kept that up all through my high school years and then went off to California down in SoCal. I went down to UC Santa Barbara, where I studied chemical engineering, of all things. I had no interest in chemical engineering, but my mother always told me it would be a meal ticket to get a degree in engineering or law or a doctor, and engineering sound the most doable of all of those. So that's what I did. That's what you did in those days. You did what your mom told you. I was a good kid. And then I graduated and went out into the real world, and boy, life did get real. I found work in engineering in Southern California, and I managed to keep pretty healthy and pretty reasonably good shape. Now, mind you, this was back in 1971, 72, and there was tons of stuff going on, and the baby boomers were all coming into the workplace. And my company was a huge engineering company. It hired tons of young people. So I worked hard and I played hard. There were lots of activities, lots of opportunities for movement and action. We'd had a volleyball league, we had a softball league, we had even wound up playing some baseball that I hadn't played since Little League, and even bowling on Wednesday nights. It was a good amount of fun, and I kept busy, and life went by pretty fast. I met my future wife and playmate in 1973, and we lived together down in Long Beach, down in Belmont Shores. Really nice down there. So she moved in, and life was a bowl of cherries, or so I thought. Flash forward ahead a couple of years when I was 26, I was at a tipping point. I could feel myself getting into a more of an eating and drinking lifestyle, and parties and fun, because that was easy to do in LA in the 1970s. But then in 1976, my dad died suddenly and unexpectedly of a heart attack at age 60. I was 26. And I'll tell you, it was just about the first major jolt of helplessness that I had ever really known. There was no disputing it, no arguing, and no discussing, well, let's negotiate. It was boom, he was gone. So with that kind of a mindset, I moved back up to the San Francisco Bay Area and stayed with my mom to help her out. I found a great job, and where I eventually stayed for 18 years. That was a new company, and it was full of young people. And I noticed that some of them went off at lunchtime to go for a run. They'd go down to it was in Berkeley. So we would go to the Y in Berkeley, get changed, and do a run around the university or whatnot. And one day I decided, what the heck, I'm going to join them. So running was amazing for me. Kind of brought back my high school years almost into my little reptilian brain. And oddly, I just kept getting better and better at it. I kept being able to run faster and faster. See, it seems like the more you practice something, the better you tend to get at it. I had never noticed that or figured that out on my own. Life lesson. And again, I worked hard and played hard. Running let me eat like a teenage boy. I could eat anything I wanted and never gain a pound. I was running 40 miles a week, 2,000 miles a year, year over year, and weighed 150 pounds. I was 5 foot 10. Once I got established there, which was just about 6 months, my girlfriend moved up to San Francisco and we bought a house and we got married. This was now 1978. And life was an even bigger bowl of cherries for a while longer. And then a series of incredible things happened. So it was 1982, and my wife couldn't get pregnant. Just wasn't happening for us. She found out that her tubes had been blocked due to a childhood injury, a very high fever. So she even had tubal surgery to try to get things working, but she still couldn't get pregnant. So we adopted our son, Mark. And then remarkably, she got pregnant. And so we were over the moon. Mark was going to have a little brother or sister and almost the same age. And then she had a miscarriage. And my wife started drinking a lot. That's when the next several years kind of became a blur. I was still running, but without the same level of intensity as before my son was born, because there's something about having a child that kind of uses up your emotional energy. And I'm the kind of person that had to put that emotional energy into running to be any good at it. But it was worth it. Just being a dad was wonderful. Sadly, my wife continued to have more miscarriages, a bunch of them actually. And she started drinking more each time. So as my son was a little child and getting older, we found that we were in a fix. And he, more so than all of us, was in a real fix. My wife was always drunk. I was always angry. And I started gaining weight. Mark was miserable. This kept up through the school years for Mark, and flash forward ahead to 2001. Mark graduated high school and went off to college, and I took a field assignment in Washington, D.C., where I came home every other weekend. My company sent me there, and it was they needed an engineer, and we didn't have a lot of engineers. I was in the IT business at that time. So off I went for the 6 week engagement, and I stayed for 3 years. And I ate in restaurants every night, and I started drinking too much myself. And my running gradually slipped away until finally I quit it altogether. And now that whole time, I didn't realize, but I was using food as my drug of choice and would wound up gaining nearly 100 pounds. I remember in an interview one time with Keith Richard of the Rolling Stones, they asked him, they said, wow, you seem like a worldly guy. How did you get involved with heroin? He said, simple. It makes you feel good until it kills you. And I thought, oh, that's what I've been doing. So here I am, 100 pounds heavier than I was before. My son had become alienated from us, and we had some very rocky years. Now comes the sad part. My wife just kept slipping further and further into alcoholism. I got back from my field assignment in 2004, and she actually tried rehab twice, but it was just too late for her. And what she wound up telling me was she didn't want to stop drinking. It was the only thing that made her feel better. I said, better than what? And she said, maybe someday you'll know. Huh, truer words. A little beyond that, she drifted into bipolar disorder. And so now, God bless her heart, and if there is one, she was dealing with alcoholism and bipolar disorder. It was just the ugliest emotional cocktail you can possibly imagine. And frankly, at that point, she was pretty well gone. Finally, she became very ill, and we learned in 2011 that she was finally diagnosed with ALS. And We read about it and we looked into it and all that, and we figured, well, maybe we got like 2 or 3 years. We can do some stuff before it gets really bad. No, that's not the way my Regina rolled. When she was in for a penny, she was in for a pound. She was gone in 7 months. And so here I was, all by myself. So I figured, all right, what am I going to do? Am I going to totally give up and throw in the towel, or am I going to try and salvage a life out of these past years? So I figured, well, let's try and lose some weight. So I had any number of failed diets. I wound up being diagnosed with fatty liver. I didn't think that was much of a problem until I started reading about it and seeing, this could actually kill me. I have essentially cirrhosis of the liver. The part where I have a sense that there might be a God, because only a God could come up with this, is my wife and I had the same physician. And after she died, and he told me, yeah, you got fatty liver, I asked him, I said, what was Regina's liver like when she passed? And he said, hang on. So he gets the charts out and he looks, he said, she had a perfect liver. So I thought, of course she did. That was how she rolled. So here I was fighting that. So I decided that I would join a gym. So I joined a gym back in about 2015. And that helped. It helped a lot. It gave me something to do. It got me out of the house and got me moving. But I wasn't losing weight. I was just getting healthier and stronger and working on balance and sort of life strength. To keep from losing the strength as I got older. Okay. So after a few years, the doctor kept telling me, why don't you try something new? Try Weight Watchers and all that, which I did. Nothing really worked. And then he said, why don't you try Overeaters Anonymous? So I said, okay, I'll try that. So I went online into the Overeaters Anonymous website, found a Monday night meeting, called into the meeting, got in early, and there was Jenny. And she asked me an interesting question. She said, oh, are you here because this is a secular meeting? And I said, no, I'm here because this meeting starts at 6 p.m. and it's a good time for me. That was how I became part of secular overeaters, just inadvertently. And what a good move that was. Because here's what happened. I lost 100 pounds. No, I didn't. I didn't. I really did not lose a whole lot of weight, but I did gain some important things. I found that the power of community. I had my work community, but that was professional. We were getting paid to do that. Okay, even with my friends that I was playing with back in the 1970s, it was all about fun and games. But in this program, I saw the real power of community. And mainly, I found that I wasn't alone in my battles. I wasn't the only guy having to do this. Someone would talk, and very oddly, I would listen because I like to talk, and I often do when I should be listening. So this medium taught me that. Well, where does that leave me? So I'm 2 years into this program now. And I've had some success in losing weight. It's still very much a work in progress. But mainly, before I joined this, I had been kind of steadily gaining weight. And what I've found is I've been very successful in not gaining weight. So I've plateaued out. I've gone down a little bit and up a little bit, but within a band, okay? I work with my psychologist, and we have all kinds of strategies, and we're trying them, and to figure out ways that that I can actually start eating better and moving more. That's what I attribute success to. But probably most importantly, for the first time, probably ever in my life, I took a real deep look at myself, and it was through the vehicle of this program. I was able to piece together the above story. I'd never even thought about it. It just had happened. It was all kind of it had never made much sense before. But as I look at it now, I can see that it kind of does. I finally learned that I ate because it made me feel better, just like drinking did for Regina. Amazing. So there was a reason why she did it. It made the pain of life stop for her. God bless her. I reconciled with my son. How about that? He was a kid who grew up in a house where mom was always drunk and dad was always mad. Can you imagine how horrible that must have been for him? Well, he made me understand. He finally got through my chipmunk brain. And we're doing okay. We're going off in a couple of weeks to go see my sister, and then he'll learn what crazy really is. I also found a great lady to be my partner, and I'm very lucky and pleased to have her in my life. So here I am at 74 years old. I'll be 75 this year, and getting towards the end of my journey. And I'm feeling okay about it. And I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to go down trying to fight those last few pounds. And I'm really okay with that because everything that I've learned and everything that I've done and everything that I've put together makes sense and feels worthwhile. So that's my story. And as we say in meetings at work, I'm going to give you back 3.5 minutes. And when they always say that in a meeting, I say, well, will I be 3.5 minutes younger? And they say, no, Paul, it doesn't work that way. So that's my story.